Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We always look forward to your contact and your call, your conversation, information, questions, comments, and relationship to the issue each and every day. As we face the issues today, we're going to talk about a subject that I believe ought to be recognized, dealt with, and embraced by every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot. And the question is today, the issue today, should we be afraid? Should we be afraid? Should we be fearful? I'm going to leave that and I'll pause for a moment. Should we be fearful? As we look around the globe and witness what is happening, as we look at what is taking place in America, as we witness the rapid onslaught of Islamic jihadists and the socialist Marxist communists wanting to take over America and destroy it, should we be afraid? Should we be afraid of what is happening in the Middle East? Should we be fearful when the onion is being unpeeled on COVID and we discover that we're lied to, multitudes, in fact, millions murdered as a result of a thieving liar that was interested in self-aggrandizement, popularity, and money? Should we be afraid? What does the scripture say about these things? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And by the way, that sound mind, literally translated, says having good sense. Let me just read it this way. God has not given us the spirit of fear, anxiety, anxiousness, worry, but of authority, power, and of love and of good sense. So I want us to ponder that as we talk about the issue today. Should we be afraid? Should we be afraid? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty soft pillow to place your head on. The truth of the Lord endures forever. We can take the scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, and we find it is truth. We find in between those two covers of the Bible, God's progressive revelation of himself to man. We see God's past, present, and future dealings with man. And as we see that, we should be encouraged to understand that it is not what we think. It is not what we feel or fear. It is what God is doing that we need to embrace and understand. This is the reason in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, not maybe, not perhaps, shall direct thy path. That means the leanings, the directions that we go in. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about truth, I think of George Orwell, the secularist, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're finding that is true today. If we stand for truth, whether it be theological, doctrinal, or biblical truth, if we stand for truth and morals and ethics and values, if we stand for truth when it comes to political things and civil government, we're always going to find those that will be the naysayers, the ones that will remonstrate against truth and feel that somehow, some way, a half-truth is correct. A half-truth is a whole lie. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, based on the survey that was done, it's been over a year now, headline says, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. The article begins with this statement. Webster's Dictionary says, truth is the body of real things, real events, facts, actualities, the state of being in the case, fact. But ladies and gentlemen, 55% of millennials, according to this research, says this, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. I'll go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth. Now let me pause for a moment and then read the balance of his quote. Seek the truth. Where do you go to seek the truth? You can roll the dial and you'll not find absolute truth on any of the television networks. You can go on the internet and you find today more gibberish and AI-created, generated garbage than ever before in the history of the world. Where do you go to find truth? You say, well, I go to church. I go to church. I find truth there. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but a whole lot of what is said today from pulpits is half-truth and not full truth. Most preachers today are afraid they're going to step on a Democrat's toes and alienate a Democrat that might in some way lose numbers, nickels, and noses in the congregation. I believe it's time we stick to the truth regardless of whose toes it may step on. Again, Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. I believe it behooves us as believers to stand on the truth. As the old cliche goes, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. That's my position, and I challenge you each and every day with that. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Some have said, how do I find that? It's a good question. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. That's at 11291, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a moment. We're going to finish a brief monologue. Then we're going to introduce our special guest today. And we're going to be talking about some of the things that's taking place in the political arena, some of the things that are taking place with Sir Anthony Fauci and his lies that's being, as the COVID onion is being unpeeled, some of the lies that he's telling and has told, and the end result, then what should we do? We'll be looking at some of the candidates that's running for office as governor for the state of Florida. We'll be talking about, without necessarily calling or identifying a name, but talking about the issues that we need to search as we vet the candidates. What should we look for in a candidate running for governor? What would you look for, should we look for, expect from any candidate running for public office in America today? How should we feel in relationship to the birthright citizenship? President Trump just signed two executive orders making it illegal in America. Yes, you will say, and I understand, Supreme Court's already ruled on that. Supreme Court gave an opinion. Now, I've said, I believe it's time that President Trump says to the Supreme Court, that's your opinion, that's not constitutional, now try to enforce it. Did you hear what I said? Supreme Court does not make law. Supreme Court's not a legislative branch. Supreme Court is only there for the purpose of making sure that the laws comply with all four corners of the Constitution. And if there's a deviation from the Constitution, then it's to be called out by an opinion. An opinion does not make law. And I'm thankful that Trump is recognizing the need to stop the destruction of America from within by having the birthright citizenship continue. We're going to talk about that with our special guest today and several other things during the course of the dialogue and discussion with our guest. But ladies and gentlemen, the issue today, may I repeat, should we fear? Should we be fearful? Ladies and gentlemen, today there are those that are fearful of multitudes of things. I'm looking at a headline that says, Abdul el-Sayed invokes Islamic prayer in the super tight Michigan Democratic primary. Well, he won the primary, but at the point in time when it was the night of the counting of the votes, if you will, he prayed a special prayer, and he prayed to Allah, and he prayed it in Arabic. We don't know what he said. There's not been any interpretation yet of his entire prayer. Usually when an Islamic jihadist will pray to an American audience, and he puts it in some of his Islamic jihadist Arabic lingo, in several cases that I've seen in history past and recent years, they prayed for Allah to destroy America, to destroy the enemy, and to give power and authority over the enemy in America. It wouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility. That's exactly what Syed did. And he's one of the candidates. That's one of the things we'll talk about. What do we do as we see the Islamic jihadist by the hundreds across America running for office, different offices? What do we do when we see the socialist, Marxist, communist called the Democratic Party and a wing of that today that's running for office? Should we be fearful? Listen very carefully, and then we'll introduce our guest today. They're those that are fearful of the communist agenda. They're fearful that America is going to be destroyed as we know it today. Some are fearful of losing our religious liberties. Some are fearful of losing our Bill of Rights. Some are fearful that we'll become a police state. Some are afraid of losing our free speech. Some are afraid of facing control by the enemy and its movement on everything that we say or do in America. Now listen, all of those things I just very quickly and glibly stated are absolute potentialities. But should we be fearful of that? And again, to set the stage, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, that means authority, and of love, and of a sound, good sense mind. So, to answer the question, should it be fearful? No, not at all. In fact, the Lord Jesus says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. That should be a comforting statement for every child of God, for every Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today a very special guest, one that we've had a number of times in history past. I believe that it is important for us to get some information from those that have been there, done that in the political realm. Our guest today is Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida, the Florida House. Welcome, 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 Congressman Hill. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion on the issues of the day.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It is always an honor to be on your show, and your opening monologue is always inspirational. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm delighted that you will take time out of your busy schedule to join us. It's always a joy of mine to have you. It's always a delight to hear your insight and your words of wisdom from a Christian perspective and from a businessman, professional life, and for your background in military and in civil government. So thank you again for joining us today. I want us to take a moment and from the start of our conversation, what would you say are the top three, top four issues that we ought to be focused on, we the people, not just in Florida, but on a national level? What should be the top three or four issues that we should be focused on analyzing, concerned about, and praying over?
Dr. Youngblood, I would say these are the top three, and maybe not in any necessary order, but one is illegal immigration, and I'll include with that the birthright citizenship, and I am so pleased to see how the Trump administration is tackling both of those issues. Well, it's one issue, but it has several fronts. That's number one. Number two is our economy. Our economy is doing much better than what we hear the mainstream media trying to beat into our brains that it is not doing well right now. And they always point to the trillions of dollar deficit that we have. The reason why I believe that the economy is doing well is because of several changes that are being made, and it could take some time for the effects of those to be felt. For example, rooting out all of this fraud, waste, and abuse that is going on, and that we see the Trump administration doing it. It's been going on for decades. And finally, an administration is doing something about that. And once that gets taken care of, we're talking hundreds of billions of dollars, adding up to trillions of dollars that will have a positive effect on both our economy and on the deficit. And then number three, which I think we should be aware of, is what's happening with our foreign policy, both with our allies and our adversaries. Because the United States is the only world superpower right now and the strongest economic and military might that is out there, we must be concerned about what's going on around the rest of the world, because what we do affects the rest of the world. They know that, and that's why our enemies are so intent on causing harm to us, because they don't like us being in that powerful position. And there's even jealousy on the part of our friends in the European Union because of that power and authority that we obviously demonstrate.
Congressman Hill, I'm in full agreement with that. Now let me take a moment and ask some questions, and let's discuss them and the parameters that you have just outlined. We have a lot of people today, younger generation in particular, that's pretty myopic when it comes to the economy. They're complaining about the cost of gasoline. They're complaining about the cost of eggs. They're complaining about the cost of milk. They're complaining about the cost of a loaf of bread, notwithstanding the fact that across America we continue to force increased wages, and with every increase on wages we see a like increase in the cost of all goods and the production thereof. And with that being said, we have a push today, as you know, from the communist Marxist socialist agenda to play on that economy, to have people willing, primarily the younger generation, willing to vote for a socialistic, communistic system because they want something free. How do we overcome that? What do we do? And I say we as conservatives, Christians, and patriots, what should we do? How should we view that? Should we look at it on the basis, well, they're right, things are expensive, et cetera, et cetera? You and I both know that these costs are up, but they're coming down based on many of the policies that President Trump's already put into effect. But they don't happen overnight. But we're going to have an election in about 80 days in the midterm. We're in a primary election now in the state of Florida. Speak to that issue from your perspective. How should our listeners, let's say you've got the younger generation listening, and they're complaining about, I'm going to vote for the candidate that's going to give me free education, free health care, free bus rides every place I want to go, free housing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What should we do to address that issue to save our country? Because if the vote goes the way it could in relationship to the freebie mindset, we're in trouble as a nation. I'm not saying that we need to be fearful, but how should we look at the facts?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, first of all, nothing is free. There is no such thing as a free lunch. There's no such thing as free health care, a free home, free education. There's no such thing. Somebody is paying for it, and typically it's the taxpayer. I think it was Margaret Thatcher who said that the problem with socialism and communism is eventually you run out of other people's money.
That's exactly right.
So nothing is free. We have become such an abundant and affluent society, Dr. Youngblood, that many people have become spoiled. They have forgotten what our ancestors, those who came before us, not that long ago, Dr. Youngblood, your and mine mother and father and our grandparents, mm-hmm. how they worked hard to provide for their families, and it was for the necessities. We've become so affluent now that people expect things to almost be given to them instead of having to work for them and have that delayed gratification, knowing that if I work hard, put effort into it, then we can do some of the extra things, not expecting it. We have young people coming out of college right now wanting to make a salary where they can go out and purchase a $300,000, $400,000 home, and that's what they expect. Instead of you have to start early by working hard. You may have to live in an apartment for a while. Now, you may have to live in a townhome for a while. And you work hard and you earn a higher salary. It's not given to you just because of these communist minimum wages, and that's just what they are. A wage should be agreed upon and set by the employer, yes. and the employee, mm-hmm. not government dictating what you have to pay them. Because as soon as you do that, you set a mark where people are pushed out of the market because an employer is not willing to pay them that amount because of their skill sets, their education, or whatever. But if it is determined between the employer and the employee how much they want to pay and accept, then we get rid of that communist mindset of a minimum wage. So what we have to do, Dr. Youngblood, is make people aware. Stop listening to these politicians who are promising you everything for free because it doesn't exist. And they are lying to you when they say so. There is no such thing as a democratic socialist. That word is made up by those on the left. Socialism is not democratic. It's the government dictating the means of production, how items are going to be produced. They're not asking for your vote on that. There's no such thing as democratic socialism. It's a made-up term, and it's actually nonsensical.
Absolutely. Hold your thought for just a moment, Congressman. I believe we have Santiago on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. John Black, God bless you and the Congressman. Listen, people don't realize, I've been in China. I start asking questions about the communists. They don't have nothing free. People, if you don't have insurance, you don't see a doctor. People over there, they are millionaires. They have an apartment more than $5 million. People don't realize, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's a big lie. I don't know where those people, they get those. But what happened is this, the lazy people that we have in the United States, they want everything free, and they believe what they thinking they are. You know, God bless you, and the Lord be with everybody who vote. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much for that comment, Santiago. You're exactly right. Congressman Hill, when I think about what Santiago just said, picture for a moment with me and comment on it. Let's say that all health care is free. Everybody has health care available free. Well, they have health care available almost totally free in Canada. You could get a heart transplant in Canada. Won't cost. But you're on the waiting list You're about to die. You're on the waiting list for 1, 2, 3, 4 years before you can be in line to get that service. So free does not necessarily mean availability. And I think that our listeners need to understand that, because at the ballot box this season, November the 3rd for the midterms, where the ballot box will make a determination of the destiny of America, and multitudes will vote based on that free. Right now, as you know, in New York City, Man Dummy, as one has nicknamed him, Man Dummy, has said we're going to have free groceries at the grocery stores. What they do not realize, they that will vote for that, is that once that free is available, the shelves will become bare. You'll be in line for hours, if not days, to get a loaf of bread, to get a can of sardines, whatever it may be, because supposedly it's at a reduced price or it's free. So free does not mean available. But Congressman Hill, we have a whole society today of the millennials in particular. That's what they've heard. Where did they hear it? How did they get indoctrinated to believe that that is what we need in America? And how do you overcome that, in your opinion?
Dr. Youngblood, it came from our awfully poor education system, our government-run schools, which have been taken over by the teacher unions, which are democratic communists. Let me say that differently. They're Democrats, not democratic. They're Democrats and they're communists. And they have taken over our education system. And what they teach the kids there is that government is here to provide for you. Government is not here to provide for us. Government here is to protect our God-given rights, our inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property. That is why government is there. And they receive their just powers by the consent of the governed. It's not to give you free stuff, because there is no such thing as free stuff. And we see it in all the nations that have tried it, Dr. Youngblood, the communist bloc, the Eastern Communist Bloc, Eastern Europe, the Communist Bloc that was there. I have friends who lived there during that time in Romania, in Russia, and they talk about how the staples, the food staples, were always scarce, that those who were at the top of the Communist Party would live in abundance, but everyone else would barely eke out a living, that there were certain days when meat, bread, and vegetables were to be delivered to their stores. The stores had long lines, and oftentimes the food was gone before more than half the line had a chance to get through. Mm-hmm. And as you say, Man Dummy is going to find out the same thing in New York. When they say free, that line is going to be very long, and there won't be enough for everyone. It's impossible. You must be able to show a payment system in order to allocate it allocated properly to those who want to purchase, not to just give it away free. And by the way, Dr. Youngblood, Man Dummy is saying you have to show an ID card to use their free grocery stores. But you don't need an ID card to vote. That is insane, utterly ridiculous. So we should be looking at candidates nowadays who do not try to promise you everything, don't try to promise you the moon, but instead say that they are going to adhere to the oath of office, and that is to protect protect the Constitution and protect us from an overreaching government and taxation.
Absolutely. You said that so well, with a all-encompassing umbrella, that I must say this before we take the top of the hour news break. We have some of our candidates running for governor, And I've watched some of the high-polished television ads, and I've watched some of the high-polished Madison Avenue production and the mail-out cards. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you from Washington. I'm going to protect our kids. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to make sure that we are taken care of. What does that mean? Ponder that for just a moment as we take the top of the hour news break. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after.